Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. welcome and thank you for taking time out of this busy schedule to be here. I'd like to introduce myself in my native language, which is, I'm still working on learning, but Oki Nistu Netaniku Amanisiaki. So hello, my name is Annie Belcourt, and welcome. I am here really representing a couple different organizations. I work at the University of Montana. I direct our Health Disparities Initiative within our college. And I also serve as a reviewer for the Blackfeet Nation IRB and the Rocky Mountain Tribal IRB. So today I'll be here to talk with you about the emergence of tribal review and sort of tribally situated research review ethics boards. So I'll be representing a couple different organizations, the Rocky Mountain Tribal IRB. I brought brochure materials, so if you'd like to know more about the Rocky Mountain Tribal IRB, it is coverage area in Montana and Wyoming and some of Idaho, actually, tribal communities, so I have materials about that. And then what I'll be talking about today is really a summary, very brief summary of a paper that we had published in AJPH in 2013, which was entitled Research Ethics and Indigenous Communities. So I have copies of these, a few copies, so if you'd like to take a copy, you are welcome to. It's also available online. So today, what I'd like to do is to talk very briefly about some of the issues with regard to ethics in American Indian Alaska Native communities. Disclaimer, of course, the views I represent are my own views. They're based on the scientific literature and ethical literature. However, I do not represent folks that may fund my work, which include the NIH, NIEHS, Harvard Fellowship, or APHA. So, disclaimer, across the board. So our objectives today, really review very briefly the American Indian health status and factors that are associated with the disparities that we see within our populations. Examine health disparities in Montana, just to kind of give a case example of some of the disparities that we see. And then review ethical aspects of human protection issues for Native populations. These two photos are a photo of my great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother, so Nsima and Katie Holmgren. So I like to include them because I think that there's a lot of perception that it's a very far removed, and so I can tell you this, I knew my grandma Katie, and I think this is what informs the work that we've tried to do to protect our communities in terms of ethical human subjects protection. So. Historical factors. I won't go through this very much, but there is a history of distrust that was built on some of the issues that happened with American Indian history, which we continue to live within the repercussions of. Those include unethical research that was practiced within American Indian communities and Alaska Native communities, and it's really resulted in really a mutual distrust in some ways. So researchers sometimes distrusting the communities, communities distrusting the researchers. That's at the core of what my talk will be about today. So of course, with all research that's regulated in the United States, we have three primary principles. The respect for persons, beneficence, and justice. Those are true for all human population subject research. For American Indians, for those of you who may not be familiar with us as a population, we're an incredibly diverse community when you say American Indian and Alaska Native. We have over 564 at last count, communities that are very distinct culturally, distinct languages, practices, ceremonies, belief systems, creation stories, all those things. We are a young population. 33% of our population is under the age of 18. We have significant intertribal diversity in the ways that I've just described, economic, familial, lifeway, kinship patterns. We have a shared history of historical trauma. However, we also have a shared history of historical resilience. So for those of us who have continued to move forward in many different ways and good ways. However, there are very stark educational, health, and socioeconomic disparities, and I'll talk very briefly about some of those. Just to orient you to where I'm from, this is a map of our region. So this is Montana and Wyoming. What you'll see here is that the reservation communities are sort of highlighted on the map. We have 7 reservations in Montana. We have 1 reservation in Wyoming. And The reservations are typically multi-tribal, so there's different tribes who live within each of those reservations. I grew up on the Blackfeet Reservation, which is the most northern area. It's adjacent to Glacier National Park. We actually had leased Glacier National Park to the United States government for 99 years, and we haven't heard how that lease is going to go. But and then you see Fort Peck is very geographically remote, so these are some of the communities. What you see here is poverty is not equally distributed across our region. Poverty is very much centralized in our Indian reservations. The three poorest counties, Roosevelt, Glacier, and Bighorn County, are home to some of our native tribes. So Fort Peck, Blackfeet, where I'm from, and then Crow and Northern Cheyenne. This is just a slide, sorry, got a little adjusted here, but to show you some of the poverty indices across the different across the state, but broken up by reservation community. So when you break down Montana's poverty rate, it's about 14% overall. When you look at each of their reservations, you can see that it far exceeds that rate in each of our reservations. So Blackfeet has a poverty rate about 33% compared to 14%. So nearly double, you know, what we're seeing in almost every reservation community. Unemployment rate, similarly, very high when you compare it to the overall state of Montana. Children who are eligible for free and reduced lunches. You know, some of our communities have 80% of the children who qualify for free and reduced lunches. So these are just a few indices. What we see is that with some of these sort of so-called social determinants of health, we have very severe health disparities. Health disparities in national data and regional data. These include tuberculosis, chronic liver disease, type 2 diabetes, unintentional injuries, homicide, suicide, and influenza pneumonia for pediatric population. And this is just a graphical representation of that. So a case example that is often talked about within ethical history for American Indian communities is the Havasupai case. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Havasupai case, a university researcher at ASU was asked by the tribe, actually, to do a study looking at diabetes risk and looking at if there could be a genetic link for diabetes risk factors. He was approached by a researcher also at ASU who wanted to do some work with the tribe and so had kind of an entree with this researcher. She was interested in other things. She was interested in schizophrenia. She was interested in so-called migration theories and things of that in terms of DNA. So the Havasupai supported a diabetes project. That was their understanding. They gave tribal support to do a diabetes project. However, the wheels began to come off the bus ethically at this point because other researchers were starting to look at other things. They were looking at schizophrenia risk. They were looking at naming the tribe. The way that this was discovered was that a Havasupai tribal member who was a student at ASU attended a presentation that was basically showing data from her tribal community. It was actually a study that she and her family had participated in, provided blood samples to, and was hearing about how it was confirming things around migration theories that were in direct opposition to the creation story of the Havasupai people. So there was very many domains that this was very unethical practice. This was, of course, a lawsuit was emanated from this. There was a settlement. There was an apology that was issued. And there has been a lot of good work to begin to forge some better relationships between the tribal communities and the university in Arizona. The implications for ethical research or unethical research are very much across span different domains. There's a spiritual domain that I mentioned. Our creation stories are sacred to us, our spiritual beliefs. When they're challenged by research directly, that has an impact on the community wellness. Sacred nature of blood for many people, many of our tribal people, that is, for many tribal people, considered human subjects research, whereas traditionally it may not be. Cultural factors that I've talked a little bit about, ethical, legal, as I mentioned, socioeconomic, research, and science. Implications of this work. So do tribes have privacy interests as a community, and can they suffer dignitary harm? Those are some of the primary questions we ask with regard to ethics. Do other communities have these similar issues? The issue of community confidentiality is a complex issue. Some tribes wish to be identified in research. Other tribes do not. Other tribes wish to remain confidential, their identity. the ownership of the data, which we'll be talking about, my colleague Cynthia will be talking about next, the right to review publications. The key is really to truly create an equitably engaged research review process, where you're preserving and you're promoting community health research, and in a way that is really balancing the potential benefits of science to the potential risk for American Indian and Alaska Native communities, and within that context. The regional impact in our area is that we developed the Rocky Mountain Tribal IRB, and by we, that's a very, very generous we, because I didn't do a lot of the work that took that. the tribes really took this on, and they said, you know, we will stand up to protect our communities, and we will do this in a way that is inclusive of scientists, research scientists, community members. We will find the people who have the expertise to get us set up, and this paper that I mentioned kind of unpacks the process. So if you'd like a copy of this, it kind of really goes through the different steps and things of what went along to create that research review board. The goal is to advance the awareness of the unique concerns. And there are unique concerns because we are federally recognized. So we are basically nations within a nation here in the United States. And to ensure that research engages in an ethical and collaborative process that really is mutually beneficial. So not only to the science and to the science-based literature, but also to the community. So applied applications and accessibility factors. The goal is to ensure ethical treatment of tribal populations while also increasing knowledge where it may be most appropriately used. So not necessarily in a journal article, but actually translating that to a community in the way that they're going to understand the results and that it may actually impact policy or behavior is our goal ultimately. And this could be looking at video development, community reports, looking with tribal newspapers, so that the paper and the findings are not just sitting on a shelf. They're actually being used by the community to improve the health within the community. So I will wrap up with this, but the national impact and Montana implications. Communities are increasingly becoming more knowledgeable, and they're identified as key stakeholders in research. It's being demanded, actually, by tribal nations. The principles of research and practice help promote tribal identification of research priorities and processes. The community empowerment piece, it really can promote health through sustainable change. And so these two photos are photos of from my family, because I always have photos of my family. but this is my great-great-grandmother and grandfather, and these are my children. And I think the idea here is that we really have to learn from our own traditional ways of knowing, our traditional ways of conducting science, which we definitely have a history of, and in order to have a better future for our children. You know, our children are really the ones who are facing the health disparities that we see. And in Montana, those disparities are really quite shocking. And it's something that we all really need to start to look at and prioritize as a national agenda item. So I would definitely just like to end with that. And thank you for your time.